So many have died, says a former Japanese minister. He actually apologized. Now, he's not a Fauci, right? He's not some kind of health bureaucrat or some pretend scientist like Fauci. He is apologizing for this. Former Minister for Internal Affairs and Communications in Japan, presently a member of the House of Representatives, and he apologized. Have you seen any apologies from any of our congressmen, even as they pull in Fauci and question him? There's no apologies from them. There's not going to be any apologies from Fauci either. As a matter of fact, Fauci is being portrayed as a victim by Democrat Congress people.
So, Dr. Fauci, can you please share with us the nature of the threats you have received since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic?
You can read better than that, can't you? How'd you get in Congress?
Yes, there have been everything from harassments by emails, texts, letters of myself, my wife, my three daughters. There have been credible death threats leading to the arrests of two individuals. And credible death threats mean someone who clearly was on their way to kill me. And it's required my having protective services essentially all the time. It is very troublesome to me. It is much more troublesome because they've involved my wife and my three daughters.
At these moments, how do you feel?
He gets choked up. Oh, how do you feel? Let's talk about your emotions.
Terrible.
Do you continue to receive threats today?
Yes, I do. Every time someone gets up and says I'm responsible for the death of people throughout the world.
You are. You are.
Threats go up.
You filthy little elf. Look, your wife is getting death threats? You mean the ethics? Total nepotism. He puts his wife in charge of ethics, like I said the other day. He's got one of his lieutenants who is testifying. Ethics? We got ethics there? We have an ethics department? Do we have any ethics? No. His wife was in charge of ethics. She's responsible, too. Hey, you know, Fauci, you got death threats, but the people that you pushed this stuff on died. They actually have family members that died. You get all choked up because you get death threats. What about the people whose family members were killed by your ventilators? What about people who were killed because you kept cheap, effective treatment from them and gave them remdesivir, which everybody agrees doesn't help anything? You tried to push this stuff for money. You pushed it for AIDS. You pushed it for Ebola. You approved it yourself and made it the standard of care, even though it didn't help anybody. It killed people with liver and kidney disease. And I can't remember which one of those is the primary one, but both of those. I think it was the kidney was a primary cause of death. But it destroys people's livers as well. Yeah, he's the victim. He's the victim. And, you know, there's no apologies from any of these Republicans for letting this guy go. There's no apology from Trump for having, Trump justifies keeping Fauci there. Wouldn't even fire him after the election, even though people were begging. I've played those clips for you many times. You know, the only place is that every once in a while, there'll be one member of the legislative body in one country who will stand up and speak out. Andrew Bridgen in the UK. What'd they do? They said, you're anti-Semitic, and they kicked him out of the Conservative Party. Well, fine. You know, that tells you more about the Conservative Party than it does about Andrew Bridgen. He didn't say any. You know why they called him anti-Semitic? Because he quoted somebody who said, this is a Holocaust. A Holocaust. Oh, well, that's anti-Semitic. Yeah, they've got that word reserved for them, right? You can't use a Holocaust about anything other than Jews and Nazi Germany. Anybody else says it's a Holocaust. That word has now been banned for use from anybody else. It's like the N-word, right? So you can't say that. You're racist. You're out of the Conservative Party. We had in the summer of 2020, I'll never forget, there was a member of the Italian legislature who stood up and he was furious. He said, look at the number of people that are dying and look at the lies, because they were the first country outside of China to do all this stuff. And the data that was there, John Rappaport released that data, and I was talking about it before Trump shut us down. We had 2 weeks worth of data out of Italy. John Rappaport was the one who found it. I talked about it many times before Trump shut it down. I continued to talk about it. What they found was in Italy, the average age of the person was a couple of years beyond life expectancy. It was like 79 and 80 years old, the average age of the people who were dying. And the average person who died had 2.5 other comorbidities. Again, did they die with it or from it? And of course, there was also, we also knew at that time, we knew the games that they were playing with PCR. Well, later that summer, an Italian legislator stood up and was ranting. Oh, he was angry. He had the paperwork and he was banging it on the desk. Thing or that. I thought, finally, this is going to maybe do something. No, everybody just ignored it. They ignored it at InfoWars because they wanted to sell you stuff based on your fear. And then you got the EU delegates. Remember, there was 6 or 7 of them who stood up. And so we want to see this contract between the EU. It was, an agreement that was done between Albert Bourla of Pfizer and the European, president of the commission or something like that, Ursula von der Leyen. And they said, they wouldn't give it to us. And then they gave us this. And look at this. And he holds it up. One page after the other, completely blacked out. He goes, this is not releasing the data. Why are they hiding this stuff from us? And of course, we know, because they committed a crime and they don't want you to see it. There's absolutely, look, there's no national security. Are the Russians, if the Russians see this agreement between Ursula von der Leyen and Pfizer, are the Russians then going to use that somehow to destroy our country? You know, this is how the national security lie and paranoia that has been foisted upon us after World War II because of nuclear weapons and everything. Oh, well, we got to have everything national security secret. Well, everything is done that way now. There's absolutely no reason why any of these contracts need to be redacted and hidden. Except for the fact that national security is not about securing us against nuclear war or anything else. It's about securing their job. It's about these people in national government keeping themselves safe and secure. Because they're criminals. They're criminals. That's why. And so, yeah, poor Fauci. Poor Fauci. What about the credible deaths of the people you killed, Fauci? You lying murderer. And the Democrats who support him. And as I point out, we don't get any apologies from the Republicans. We get show trials. They won't stop anything. They won't shut down any program. They won't shut down any agency, any bureaucracy, any department. They won't shut down anything. They continue to fund it all. So what does this Japanese guy say? On the 31st of May, thousands of people gathered in Tokyo to participate in what organizers have touted as the world's biggest protest against the WHO. So it was that pandemic treaty activated people. Notably, Kazuhiro Haraguchi, a former minister for internal affairs, present member of the House of Representatives, gave a rousing speech that was well received by his audience, apologizing for the Japanese government's handling of the quote-unquote vaccine and expressing his grief for those who succumbed to the vaccine-linked deaths. Haraguchi disclosed personal details about his own struggles after vaccination. For one, he said, he had contracted a rapidly progressing form of cancer. So this is what has brought him to this position. He said, this time last year, I had neither eyebrows nor hair. 2 out of the 3 supposed vaccines that I received were lethal batches. He got jabbed 3 times. It's going to take people a while to figure out what happened. Survivors, even if they're disabled, family members of those who have died, eventually the wrath is going to come. And it's going to be more than letters. I just hope people don't get violent because that'll make people like Fauci the victim. If you want to get violent, it's going to make him the hero. Do you understand? He needs to be minimized. Not made a martyr for the state. They want that. He needs to be put in a jail. Better yet, put him in some stocks and throw, like they used to do at Colonial Williamsburg, and throw vegetables at him. That'd be the Just leave him there. Feed him occasionally. Haraguchi's cancer diagnosis led him to lose hair significantly, prompting him to wear a wig. Ri recalled an incident where his appearance became a point of distraction in the Japanese legislative body. Haraguchi described how a political opponent was caught up with his wig instead of discussing government matters. That never happens here in the United States. They don't have people talking about Donald Trump's hair or Joe Biden's hair. You know, Rush Limbaugh used to call Joe Biden plugs because he had a lot of hair plugs. We don't do that here. We don't focus on the wig instead of the policy, do we? Yeah, we do. Haraguchi decried Japan's prohibition of ivermectin. It's produced domestically there. Why? There's no patent on it, right? It was developed by a Japanese doctor, Satoshi Omuro, who Haraguchi contended could have played a decisive role in tackling COVID-19. Rather, the Japanese government banned the drug in a move which Haraguchi suggested was due to economic issues. That's right. And, of course, it was also a global bio war. Both of those things are at play. These people want to make billions of dollars, so they don't want anything that's cheap and effective. They want to kill people, so they don't want anything that's safe and effective. He said the ivermectin drugs are cheap. They don't want it because it'll interfere with the sales of the vaccines. LifeSite News has this story. They said, likewise, in nearby Philippines, an intense discussion took place in their House of Representatives. Unlike America, where we just have show trials. Regarding the alarming rise of more than 290,000 excess deaths due to the COVID vaccines. There, an attorney, Tanya Lat, condemned the government's lack of accountability. She said there are Filipino people who are sick and tired of how the Department of Health has let us down, has refused to admit that people are dying, turning a blind eye to the people who are getting sick, to the turbo cancers, to the myocarditis, to the children who are suddenly sick as if they were 60, 70-year-old people. We look into their eyes. There doesn't seem to be any sympathy for the people who have died, just like there isn't from Fauci. Sympathy for Fauci because he got some deserved hate mail, but not for the people who died, not for the sick children. We look into their eyes, there seems to be no sympathy for the people who died, for the people who are now physically disabled because of these vaccines. You know, there could be a global revolt against the global governance, which is in place, folks. It isn't coming. Global government is not coming. Global governance is already here. If it wasn't here, they couldn't have done 2020 with everybody, every party, every country, these government leaders doing the same thing at the same time, and progressive steps. You know, that was a demonstration not only of the gullibility of the populations and the power of propaganda and psychological manipulation by the controlled press, but it was a demonstration that we have global governance in place now. Question is, are we going to revolt against it? And what's the best way to revolt against it? Again, one-on-one at the local level. That's where all politics is, at the local level. And let me just say, a revolt against global governance is not going to happen with Trump in power. The very people who would revolt against this, because the Democrats love government, they love global governance. They want government to be as strong and as centralized as is possible. They even believe, because it's been a lie that's been sold by the left my entire life. And Karen and I were talking about this the other day. She grew up in New York, and you know, we were kids in the 60s in elementary school, and it was just this constant thing. The UN was fairly new at the time, and it's like, oh, the UN, the path to peace. All of our wars have been about national rivalries, and you know, the UN is going to be our path to peace. She lived in New York. She even wanted to work when she was a little elementary school kid for the UN, and then she realized what was going on with it. And way before she met me. But this is the lie that's out there, that's going to be some kind of global peace if we can all just get together and beat our swords into plowshares. You better start sharpening your swords to defend yourself in defense. So, you know, it's But it's not going to happen with Trump. Trump is the great, what I was saying is that the left loves that stuff. The left believes all these lies about the UN being the great weapon of peace and all the rest of this stuff. They believe that if we centralize all control, that we can, you know, government is going to be this big, benevolent dictator to everybody. We want the nanny state, don't we? No, that's what the left believes. The right doesn't like any of that stuff. So what do they do for the right? Well, they invent this fictional character called Donald Trump, who puts himself out there as the anti-globalist, and he becomes the great pacifier. Not a pacifier of what people want, but he becomes a pacifier in their mouth, because as long as he's there, hey, it's 4D chess, it's just sugar water, you know, take the shot, do whatever Donald Trump says. Oh, I know, he said he's going to do X, and now he's doing the exact opposite of it, but it's just 4D chess. Don't worry that he's not lying to you. He's lying to those people, those other people. He's lying to your enemies. He's deceiving them. He's not deceiving you. And he pacifies the people who should be leading a revolution. So it's not going to happen as long as he is there. So he said, not the Japanese guy, but another congressman out of the Philippines, Congressman Zia Adiong, remarked about the legal safeguards surrounding pharmaceutical firms pushing COVID-19 vaccines. He said, there really is an agreement that indicates that they cannot be sued. That's something that we should worry about. Why would a pharmaceutical company insist on not being sued if there will be injuries or fatalities that may come after a result of that? Why, do they not believe in their product? Of course they don't. Bingo. That's it. That was the epiphany for me when I saw the 1986 act that Fauci did. And I just want to stop and think about it. You know, this is Fauci. This is not his first rodeo, folks. In 1986, and he got Ronald Reagan to help him with it, he put through the legal immunity for childhood vaccines. You know, he focused on the children. You know, we talk about how reprehensible it is for these transgenders to focus on the kids. Fauci focused on the kids. He increased the number of vaccines up to, I think it's 72 or something. It's 6 dozen vaccines that they got out there. And all of them, the pharmaceutical companies, have no liability. Fauci did that to our children. He's been doing that to our children for 40 years. That's what's really reprehensible. He focused on them to harm them for the longest time. Analyst Sally Clark disclosed disturbing figures regarding the correlation between falling birth rates and vaccine rollouts since the pandemic. She said the very big spike in deaths in 2021, which started in March of 2021, immediately consecutive with the vaccine rollout. Yeah, yeah. Who knew? You know, and when you go back and you look at Fauci, I said the other day, I was anti-vax before anti-vax was cool, before COVID. But, you know, the spy who came in from the cold, I came in from the flu narrative, right? That's how I came into all this stuff. I could see the game they're running, and that was the game that they ran in 2020. It was just the big flu narrative that they had been running. So, likewise, at the adverse event following immunization gathering, this is in Malaysia. Now, Malaysia is all Muslim. And this is a Malaysian Muslim Consumers Association. And they set up a gathering. They called it a prayer to reject the IHR amendments out of the WHO and solidarity with vaccine affected victims. We need to take a look at some of these things. This is the way we need to operate with this. I think one of the key things that we need to do in the United States to fight this, whether, you know, they ever get this thing in at the international level, as I said before, you know, it was this Model State Health Emergency Powers Act legislation, model legislation for the states to enact, and they, all the states to some degree or the other, enacted a large part of that. We need to identify those things, and we got to work with state reps, and we got to get a massive grassroots movement in every state to identify and to rip out the root of all of this stuff at the local level. Congress isn't going to do a thing. Trump's not going to do a thing. Biden's not going to do anything. They love it. They're going to make it worse. We've got to stop it at the local level. And we stop it by ripping out this model state health emergency legislation that was put in your state. That's how we stop this stuff. One doctor at the event, the Malaysian Muslim Consumers Association, sorrowfully acknowledged, he says, as a medical doctor, we are so ashamed of the mistake that we have made. Another person.
The David Knight Show is a critical thinking super spreader. If you've been exposed to logic by listening to the David Knight Show, please do your part and try not to spread it. Financial support or simply telling others about the show causes this dangerous information to spread farther. People have to trust me. Trust the science. Wear your mask. Take your vaccine. Don't ask questions.
Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.